السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله وفضل كرم إحسان الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves once again on a mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We keep hearing this and we keep saying it, that the most valuable gift Allah Ta'ala has given us is a gift of Iman. We always hear this, we say this, and we believe it also. The most valuable thing that we have by us is this gift of Iman. However, when a person is given a gift, and it is something of value, then one is the person, he wants to benefit from that gift. Somebody gives a gift, very valuable, something you really like. So you want to benefit from it, number one. Number two, we want to protect it. We mustn't lose this gift. So the question I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, is that when Allah Ta'ala has given me this gift of Iman, so how much am I benefiting from it? How much am I taking benefit from this Iman? And number two, what am I doing to preserve it, to protect it? So, if I'm not doing anything to preserve it and protect it, then that means that I do not really, or I am not showing the type of importance, or I haven't understood the value of this gift. It's like you take a sweet and you take a gold coin and you put it in front of a child. The child doesn't have understanding. 9 out of 10, the child is going to take the sweet. The child doesn't understand the value of the gold coin. So the child will take the sweet, because the child understands the value of the sweet. So we need to check whether I have understood the value of my Iman. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with such a great gift. So have I understood and have I really valued this gift? So, our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned that there was a very senior alim in India in those days. His name was Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali. And he passed away not very long ago, maybe about 60 years back or something. 60, maybe 65 years. It's not like very, very long ago. So Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him that when he used to start giving bayan after Isha, his bayan used to start after Isha. So when he used to start giving bayan after Isha, he'll finish Fajr time. And the ajeeb thing was that thousands and thousands of people used to attend the bayan. 10,000, 15,000 people used to attend the bayan. And most people will sit right through. People won't get tired, wake up and go away and all that. He had such a kashish, you know, such a pull, right? That people were prepared to sit whole night and listen to his bayan. So Hazrat mentioned that he used to say that I got three missions in my life. I got three missions in my life. Mission number one, Allah Ta'ala ki ibadat. That I must be in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Everything that I do, I must be worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib Daun Barakatuh, last night, he started off the majlis by mentioning that each one of us, when we wake up in the morning, first thing, make a niyat that, Ya Allah, everything that I do today, I must do it for your pleasure. Everything that I do, I must do for your pleasure. So every day, if we have to make this niyat, then it will sink in. It will sink in. And whatever we do after that, we will do only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So it is obvious that if a person is doing things for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then the person is not going to get involved in guna intentionally or knowingly, because guna doesn't attract the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Main in cheezon ko qabile laanat samajhta hu jisse ae dosto rab mera naraaz ho jata hai. Those things that make my Allah Ta'ala angry, so I consider those things to be accursed. So you can't be doing things that anger Allah Ta'ala, things that are cursed. You can't consider those things that I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Ad-dunya mal'oon. This dunya is cursed. Mal'oonun ma fiha. And whatever is in this world also is cursed. Illa alimun o muta'alimun. The alim, so the dunya is cursed, everything is that is in the dunya is cursed. Except the alim, the muta'alim, the scholar of deen, the student of deen. Anything that takes you towards the love of Allah Ta'ala, and anything that aids you towards the love of Allah Ta'ala, being connected with Allah Ta'ala, that is not cursed. So, the masjid, if a person is building a masjid to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and he's not doing anything in that construction that goes against the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, so that won't be dunya. A person is making ibadat, and he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then that won't be dunya. That is deen. But other than that, everything in the world is cursed. So a person, when he's going to do things for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then all the time he will be in the ibadat of Allah. Anything that he does a favor to somebody, he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah. He's not worried whether that person told me thank you, whether that person remained my friend, no. Nothing. He's just doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You help somebody for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Somebody is sick, you went to visit them for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You're reading a salah for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Everything you're doing for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So this is what Shah Ta'ala Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, that my first mission in life is Allah Ta'ala ki ibadat. And that's the whole reason why Allah created us, right? Allah created us so that we worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Right? So let us ask ourselves that when Allah Ta'ala created us only for His worship, when I woke up in the morning, what went through my mind? When I'm going to wake up in the holiday at home, am I waking up in the morning to make the ibadat of Allah? Or do I have 10 other things in my head? So he says, Allah Ta'ala ki ibadat. Mission number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki ita'at. That I must be obedient to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for me, that must be my life. I must live my life in obedience to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, And I am obedient to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third thing he mentioned, really for us to think, especially in this zamana, he said, or angrez se adawat. He says, angrez se adawat. This is my third mission. Enmity for the English. So he didn't mean that now every person that came from Britain, I must hate him. What he was referring to is that this lifestyle that the British are influencing the Muslims with in India at the time. Because Britain, you see these kuffar, right? They have no morals. They are worse than barbarians. Right? But we unfortunately get carried away with them. Currently, all the war crimes that are taking place in Gaza, right? Every time the rulers, so-called rulers of the world, Hazrat Rahmatullahi, he mentioned this, I'm just digressing a little bit. He said, when we look at these rulers of the world, we consider them to be intelligent. Somebody in the science field, we consider him to be very intelligent. The medical field, we consider him to be very intelligent. But their intelligence is so low that they haven't even realized who their creator is. You ask one grade one child in a maktab, who is your creator? The child say, Allah. And Allah created us for that reason. And we must recognize who Allah is. But that grade one child, we don't consider that child to be intelligent. For that person who maybe got PhDs and this D's and that D's, but he hasn't realized who his Allah is. We consider that person to be very intelligent. But he doesn't know who his Allah is. And if he knows who his Allah is, but he doesn't know how to make his Allah happy. So what intelligence is that? So this Gaza, whenever the UN, all these UN countries, they get together, now they have meeting, they say, no, we must stop this oppression and stop this genocide. So America vetoes it. And America has got vetoing powers. So he just vetoes a decision. So what's the need to even have any mashwara or anything? Consultation for what? He just vetoes it. Why? Because they are birds of a feather. They are peas in a pod. Why I say this? You see, these people are bombing hospitals. Right? When America was bombing Afghanistan, they bombed a hospital that was being run by Doctors Without Borders. You know, you get these doctors, wherever there's problem, they go and they help. So they had set up a hospital, a lot of patients in there, they start bombing their hospital. They were informed that you are bombing a hospital. There are doctors here that they're not doing it for money. They are just here to assist. They are in their hospital. They are patients, civilians in their hospital. They continued bombing it for over half an hour. Continued dropping bombs one way on their hospital. They burnt those patients alive. So that is their civilization. And we get carried away with their lifestyle. So, the British at that time, they had come into India and they started spreading the way of the English. Probably that is what inspired Akbar Allahabadi, the poet, that he made this poem. He said, Na namaz hai na roza, na zakat hai na hajj, khushi pir usme kya hai ke koi gent hai ya koi judge. That the Muslims that time, now they started aspiring for all these top qualifications, and they want to get a job with the English government, and they want to become professors and judges and all these things. So he said, the person got no namaz, na namaz hai na roza. He got no namaz in his life, he got no roza in his life, he got no zakat in his life, he got no hajj in his life. So what happiness is there after that if he is, now he is called a gent or he is called a judge? What happiness is there? So when
Shah Taula Bukhari rahmatullah is saying angrez se adawat, what he was meaning is that lifestyle of the kuffar, which shaitan is using them to influence the Muslim, to brainwash the Muslim, to take the Muslim away from the sunnat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, away from the shariat. So I have got adawat, I have declared that as my enemy, I have got total animosity and enmity towards them. So the Shah Taula Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he had a dream once. He had a dream. In his dream, he sees that he has come into a masjid, and in one corner of the masjid, there is one person sitting there. I heard this from Azmaw Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. So one person is sitting there in the corner of the masjid. He's very handsome. He looks like a person of wealth. And he looks like a person, I'm telling my own words now, like he was supposed to have now servants around him, doing his work for him, running behind him, honoring him. But he's sitting in the corner there, and he's totally dejected, looking down, he's looking, you know, like what you'll call depression, like, you know, neglected, sitting one side. So, Shah Taula Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions this whole dream in poetry form, right? And I don't know all the words. Hazrat knew all the words. In Urdu he used to say it. I don't know the words. So I'm just giving you the meaning. So Shah Taula Bukhari, he goes to this person, and he asks him, he says, sir, that one side you are looking so handsome, you're looking like, you know, wealthy person, etc. The other side you're looking like you're so dejected and depressed, right? So who are you? You know, introduce yourself. Who are you? What's your problem? So this person replies to him and he says to him, Main Musalmano ka sataya hua mazhab Islam ho. He says, I am the troubled religion of the Muslims, called Islam. My name is Islam. I am the troubled religion of the Muslims. Troubled by who? By the Muslims. And then he goes on to explain that why am I sitting here in the corner of the masjid? He says, because there is no place for me anymore. In the place that's supposed to be the parliaments of Muslim rulers, Muslim leaders, they got no place for me there. They don't want me there. Cabinet ministers who are supposed to be Muslim cabinet ministers of countries, they got no place for me there. The homes of the Muslims, which is supposed to be Muslim homes, they got no place for me. They brought their TVs there. They brought the ways of the kuffar there. When they're having their weddings, they do it like how the kuffar do it. They got no place for me. The Muslim businesses owned by Muslim people, Muslim businessmen, they got no place for me in their businesses too. And the Muslim in his heart, his ambitions, his desires, his intentions, he too got no place for me. Nobody got any place for me. So the only place that I can take some refuge is in the house of Allah Ta'ala. That is the only place where the Muslim, to some extent, he wants to practice his deen. When he comes into the masjid, then he worries about Islam. That how is azan supposed to be given? If the muazzin makes one mistake in the azan, oh, the mutawallis will get 10 emails, and the mutawaddis will shout down the imam's throat, what's your problem? How could you leave out one ashadu Allah ilaha illallah? You only said one time, and all the old bajis in the masjid, and everybody will be up in arms. If the imam sahab makes one mistake, everybody will be correcting him. So in the masjid, everybody is worried about Islam. But as soon as we come out of the masjid, then there is no Islam. Then we worried about the ways of the kuffar. Then we worried about Western ways, the ways of the Angrez, as it used to be said in those days. When you see the ways of the West did nothing. It's the ways of Shaitan. The ways of Shaitan. Shaitan comes with all these evil, evil, haram, haram influences. So I must take stock of myself. You take stock of yourself. That do I have a place for Islam in my life? Is there a place for Islam in my heart? And it can't be a lip service thing. It can't be a lip service thing. If I got place for Islam in my heart, then intentionally and knowingly, I won't be breaking the laws of Allah Ta'ala. I won't be going against the ahkam that are mentioned in Islam. I won't be getting joy in the ways of the kuffar, in the sports of the kuffar, in the secular education of the kuffar, which is teaching people that their grandfather is a monkey and a baboon. Won't get joy in all those things. Our joy will be in deen. Our joy will be in the sunnah. Our fashion will be the sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our way will be the way of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to meet one another, coming back to what we said in the beginning. They used to meet one another. They used to say, let us sit for a while and bring iman. They were already mu'mineen and the best of believers. I said, let's sit a little bit and bring iman. In other words, let's make our iman fresh. Do we do this? Do we do this? Do we meet a friend? When we meet our friend, we're talking about this app. We're talking about that car. Allah protect that we're not talking about this movie and this actress and this song. Haram. Allah protect us that we're not talking that. And others are talking more filth. Filthy things. Allah protect us. But even if we're talking permissible things, but layani, futile. Why don't we talk deen? If you go and you meet your friends and you start talking deen, immediately, hey, keep quiet now, man. Hey, we heard enough, man. Today was already Jummah. We finished here one bayan now. Where are you coming with your extra bayan, you know? Where you came so pious now? That's the kind of comments you will get. Just go to the circle of friends, start talking some sport. Even the couch potato who can't even run 10 steps, he too wants to give his two bob. With regards to the conversation. But talk about deen. Everybody's tired now. They all got other work to do. All work now. So is there a place for Islam in my life? When you go home, go through your phone and see how much of Islam is in your phone and how much of kuffar is in your phone. So each and everything we have to check. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we bring pakka iman, you know, pakka iman. Our life must also become like this. Allah Ta'ala ki ibadat, Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki itaat, aur angrez se adawat, meaning this shaitan's way, we got enmity towards it, hatred towards it. الله تعالى يبسطه فيه وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين